Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Put a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You are so good. You are so good. He is so worthy. Hallelujah. I am sure glad to be on his side. I can tell you that much. Heard people say that God is on their side, and I think that's a misperception. I think we have to get on his side. I think that's very important. You know, I heard a guy one time say, and it's one of the most profound things that I ever heard, and I believe it to be absolutely true. Jesus is not returning to take sides. He is returning to take over. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. All to the glory of God the Father. Well, I'm going to talk to you this morning about no casualties. No casualties. And anyone that's been a part of what God is doing around here, and it's way beyond here. I mean, this is just where the body is right now. Nathan called me, and he assured me that it's entirely up to us, and he's only calling for our benefit because he knows everything. He doesn't know everything, but he knows the last couple of years we've been through a lot of things. And he said, if it would be easier for us to just come and minister in the church in November, we are totally open to that because they're planning on bringing a tent. And if you've ever been part of a tent meeting, that's a lot of work. And he was just saying, if you guys are, we can do the tent next year. We can do the tent the year after that, if that's what you want to do. And so I'm just throwing it out there. If you're not up to putting on a tent meeting in November, then just kind of let me know, because right now that's the plan. And they're bringing a team, and it's going to be good, whether it's in this building or in the tent. But he understands. They're the main person that they have in charge of all their mail and all the banking and everything that runs the ministry team in that arena. She has been battling an absolute devastating case of COVID. I mean, she is just super, super sick. And so this is widespread. There's a lot of things that the body of Christ is going through right now. A lot of things. And if you're part of the body, you know that. Because either it's touched you personally or you've seen people close to you going through stuff. And it's like, we want to say why. And we can. I mean, you can say why. You can ask why all you want. I'm just not. And certainly the Lord has not promised any answers to that question. I know personally there's times that I would rather go through it myself than watch people that I love go through it. It'd be way better if I was sick instead of one of my kids or my wife. To me, that would be better. We might say, well, why? And I don't know that this is the answer that you're looking for, but in Acts chapter 14, Acts 14, very familiar verse. I think it's one of those like the middle of Matthew 7 where we try to act like it's not in there. And if we read it, we read it real fast. We don't want to meditate on that one. But in Acts 14, beginning verse 21, it says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying," here's what they said, "we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So when they appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." Now, I know a lot of folks that follow Jesus in today's culture, I've literally heard sermons against this passage, saying that you do not have to go through anything to get to the kingdom of God. And I'm like, I'm not sure where you get that out of that. But my Bible says, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. I mean, that's what it says. And we can, I mean, we can ignore it if we want to, but I'm not sure that ignoring the scripture has any real effect on the scripture or effect. Now, as far as I can tell, you know me, I'm not a Greek scholar, but as far as my Greek goes, I believe this is a perfect translation. The first two words, "we must." And if you look at the Greek, it's there is no option. There is no option. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, this is how you got to do it. This is the only way to do it. Jesus, I think Jesus exhibited these things. I was thinking about it today, and I don't know everything there is to know about anything. But when Jacob was wrestling the Lord, I believe he was wrestling Jesus. People say he was wrestling an angel, and that doesn't make any sense to me. Because one angel came one night and killed 185,000 men. One angel and one, I mean, it's a job to kill 185,000 men. I mean, you got to admit, that's going to take a little bit of time. And he did it in one night. Now, one angel wrestling one man, I just don't think it would be a very long match. But they wrestled all night. And the man that Jacob is wrestling, he says, "I can't whip this guy. Let go of me. It's daylight." And Jacob wouldn't. He said, "I'm not," and he touched him. The man touched him. He wrenched his hip, if you will, or his thigh, and hurt him. And he still wouldn't let go. He said, "I'm not letting go till you bless me." I believe that is a type of exactly what we're talking about right here. He had to wrestle through some things, and it hurt. I'm sure it was painful. You know why? Because the Bible says he limped the rest of his life. But the Lord did bless him. He said, "No longer will you be called Jacob, but you'll be called Israel, because you wrestled with man and with God. Now, who else fits that? And he not only said you wrestled with man and God, but you prevailed. We must. Woo, I feel goosebumps. I know somebody put on Facebook, just because you said you're feeling something don't mean it's the Holy Ghost. And I'm like, how do you know what anybody's feeling? I didn't say that because most of the time, the things that I want to say, I don't. I have an answer. If you say something to me, I got an answer. It's almost instantaneous. I believe it's a gift, but it's not a gift from God. The gift from God is the ability to keep my mouth shut. Sometimes I can, and sometimes I can't. We must through, and that word through literally means a channel. It is a channel that we must travel. It's there's no option. If you want to get to the kingdom of God, you've got to go through the channel. I think Jesus, and not only did Jesus demonstrate it with Jacob, but he demonstrated it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will. What did he first say? He said, if there's any other way. But not my will. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to go through nothing. I want to feel good all the time. I want to sleep 8 hours every night. I want to wake up refreshed, get me a big old cup of coffee the next morning, and have energy until I go to bed that evening and sleep 8 hours again. That's what I want to do. I want to get everything accomplished I need to get accomplished that day. That's what I want to do. But there's some days I'm up at 12:30 in the morning. Those days, Jason, I don't know how. I have no idea how I used to party. I have no earthly idea. Younger, maybe, but I don't know. Because possibly. But I can't stay up all night and then I feel terrible for the next 3 days. Moving on. We must through. There's a channel that we must go through. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult. Because narrow is the gate and difficult. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Now, verse 14, I believe, could be read a little differently than what it's translated there. And it could read how, and this is with emphasis, how narrow is the gate and confined. You must through. You must go through a channel. The narrow way is confined. You can't go to the right. You can't go to the left. You can't ride the shoulders. You can't drive in the ditch. It's confined. Confined is the way. There's our channel which leads to life. And there are a whole bunch of people. No, there are few who find it. We must through. I was hoping that next word was a addition. Because there are additions in translations. But there, we must through many. I was hoping that was added by the translators. But it is not. There's a literal Greek word. And do you know what it means? It means abundance. But we through an abundance. But we through, not occasionally, a whole bunch of, not rarely, but many. We must through many tribulation. And that word tribulations speaks of pressure. I believe with all of my heart that the spirit is mirrored in the natural things. I believe that. Diamonds are formed. You guys know it's a lump of coal and it's under intense heat and pressure that a diamond is formed. God is able to take a lump of coal and turn it into a diamond. Now, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. And I am not trying to trample on anybody's theology or philosophy. But there's a whole lot of oil in the ground from somewhere. Some people say it came from dinosaurs. I don't know where it came from. I wasn't here when it was made. But a lot of that oil is held in intense pressure. And as much as there's a movement trying to end oil today, and I'm just not even getting in that fight, I'm glad we got it. I like going to Colorado elk hunt. I love the Rocky Mountains. I love to be able to get in my vehicle and drive 1,000. I like that. I'm sorry if that's bad for you. I like it. There's nothing like the Rocky Mountains that I've ever, you know, the mountain men were so impressed by it that one of them said the Himalayas are the foothills to the, are like foothills compared to the Rocky Mountains. Obviously, he'd never been in the Himalayas because the Rockies are foothills compared to the Himalayas. The Himalayas are big mountains. One time when I was a younger man, I was working in the oil field. And I don't want to offend you with this either, but if you want to see the worthiness and the necessity of men, Dr. Jordan Peterson has a video out about men, and it's got guys that are up on skyscrapers walking out on a beam, carrying another beam, setting it in place with their bare hands, and there's oil filled roughnecks, and they're throwing chains on these big rigs, and I'm telling you, I've seen it. There was a crew that came when I was pumping an oil lease from Cleveland, and these men were men. I'm telling you, they were hands, and they tore in to it, and I couldn't do what they're doing, and there's not a lot of people that can do what those guys were doing, and men are necessity in our culture. This infrastructure that we're a part of, the electricity, the construction, the oil field, all of those things, I'm telling you, roughnecks and construction guys, they are men among boys. People that ranch and farm, I mean, get up before daylight, don't go to bed till dark. working when it's 105 outside when everybody else is in the AC. Men are needed in our culture. I don't know why there's such a movement in our nation to emasculate this nation's men. We need them. I was working on a pulling unit, and I was not a good hand. It's a good thing I ended up as a pastor. It fits me well. God, he's like, he ain't going to be good for nothing else. I'm just going to put my word in his mouth. He can do that. I was working for a company named Equity Drilling, and we drilled 6 wells up on the Kansas line on the Mullendore Ranch, E.C. Mullendore. If you can imagine, I mean, you know he was not happy that we were there. And we're pulling this well. And we're pulling the rods out, and it starts flowing out the tubing. That's the smaller pipe that the rods go down inside. It starts blowing oil to the top of the crown, which is about 60 feet. And the wind is blowing. And so we call our tool pusher, and I had a great operator, very safe man. He's still in the oil field today. He's still got all 10 digits. That's impressive if you've spent 40 or 50 years in the oil field. He said, Troy, he said, this thing's flowing. We need to shut it down. And back in those days, the oil field was crazy. Troy Fury was his name, and Troy, he got mad instantly. He said, pull it. And so we just kept coming out with the rods, and we get the rods out, and we unseat the tubing, or pull the, get it going out of the casing. And it starts flowing out the casing and the tubing. And it's blowing. Just thank God it was not blowing toward the rig, it was blowing away from the rig. But every connection, the guy that I was working with on the floors, we just bought a brand new box of rags. That was God. Because every connection, we had to take a clean rag and wipe our eyes out because we would be completely soaked from head to toe in pure crude oil. And after we got the pipe coming out, he called Troy again, and he said, Troy, this thing's flowing out the casing and the tubing. He said, it's making a mess. And when he called him the second time, Troy went ballistic. And I can't tell you everything he said. I told you the oil field was crazy. But in short, it was, pull it now. Expletive, 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 expletive. Expletive, expletive, now. And so we just kept pulling. About 30 minutes later, Troy comes bouncing up over the hill. It'd been about an hour and a half since we started, something like that. And he drove from Barnesdall to get up there, and he was mad. He was coming up this, it's a brand new location. It'd been there about less than a year. Or about a year. And he's driving 35, 40 miles an hour up this lease road, and the truck's bouncing off the ground. And he pulls up there, and he slides sideways, and he jumps out, and he's going to chew us out. And he looks, and the whole hilltop is covered in black crude oil, green crude oil, acres of it. And he's like, shut it down, shut it down, shut it down. Todd was like, no, I don't think I will. I think I'll pull it. He was just kidding, but he finally understood where we were coming from. And there was no shutting it down. They had to bring tank. They brought tank trucks in trying to flood it. They just poured tank truck after tank truck after tank truck of water down it, trying to stop it. Nothing would stop it. They ended up putting it back online and just plumbed it to the tank battery. It flowed 100 barrels a day for another year. Pressure. See, you might feel like you're about to blow up. God's fixing to grow you up. You got to understand that God will use the pressure in your life to bring you into His kingdom. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We enter the realm where God is ruling and reigning. Now, God gave us a word. He told us that in this process that we're in, there'll be no casualties. And I thought, in my mind, I thought casualties was both injury and fatality, but I double-checked it to make sure. And that's exactly what casualty is. It's injury and fatality in a time of war. And it can be many other things that cause it. So that should be very encouraging to us. Even if we feel like we're injured right now. God said there's not going to be any injuries. y'all ain't getting it. I'm going to try it over here. God said there ain't going to be no injuries. I like that. I just been believing nobody's going to die. But God's saying there's not even going to be anybody hurt. They are trials. They are tribulations. They are hard, and there are a bunch of them. But it is the necessary channel that we must traverse through in order to get to where God is taking us. And we are being fought hell and high water. I get that, and it's not any fun, and I haven't enjoyed a single minute of it. But it's necessary. God gave us a word. No casualties. And I've been thinking about this week, and I said, I said, self, or Barry, or whatever I call myself, it all depends on the day. All depends on what time of day, how things have been going, how many stupid things I've done. So what does it mean? How can you possibly fight a fight where there's no casualties? How is that even possible? Where there's no injuries and no fatalities? How can you fight a war where nobody even gets hurt? The only thing I can come up with is God's the one doing the fighting. We're in it. I mean, we're kind of like the deal that they turned for bingo. Can I say bingo in this church? I didn't know, because you can't say bingo in some churches. And we're like those balls that are just rolling around in there. We're not really the ones in charge. But there's somebody that keeps grabbing one of them and setting it up. And you need to understand that there is one that's grabbing those balls that are bouncing around in that cage, and he is setting them up. Now, I cannot tell you how God is going to do this. I cannot possibly do it, because God did this so many ways. I mean, he took David and saved Ziklag, not a soul perished. He took Joshua, there were battles in the promised land, not a casualty. God took the Israelites across the seabed as on dry ground, not a casualty. Their clothes didn't even get old. Their clothes didn't wear out. And the same road that the Israelites traveled, God destroyed their enemy on. I promise you, God is not sitting in heaven on His throne right now, wringing His hands, wondering how all of this is going to work out. He is not nearly as nervous about things as we are. He has shut the mouths of lions. He has caused city walls to fall flat. He has quenched the violence of fire. He has subdued kingdoms. He has caused the day to last longer. We're not going to say, I'm just going to stop right there. He has sent a single angel to kill 185,000 enemy soldiers in a single night. He has sent the army of heaven to surround the enemy army and cause a prophet and a servant to lead them away. He has caused His people to praise Him while He threw the enemy into confusion and they killed each other. He has caused enemy soldiers to hear an army marching toward them when all it was a few lepers walking down a road. God has made us a promise. I have no idea how He's going to do it. I don't have no idea. But He is not a man that He can lie. And if He has said it, He will do it. And He is well able to accomplish everything that He has decreed. In Matthew 16 and 18, He said, Jesus speaking, He said, "And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus is not telling Peter that I'm going to build My church on you, Peter. That is not what He's saying. He's saying, I will build My church upon the immovable rock of Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. In Daniel 2 and 45, it says, "Inasmuch as you saw that the stone," this is one of my favorite verses of all of Scripture, "that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that is Jesus, that's the immovable rock of Christ, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, that's the kingdoms of this world. 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son to planet Earth. His kingdom will be established. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. And it's not just for a little while, it's forever." Daniel said it. He said, "This dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. The kingdom of God's dear Son has come, and the kingdoms of this world are vanishing away." In Revelation 12 and 10, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and of His Son Jesus," he said, "and His power of His Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren who is accused before them, before our God, day and night has been cast down." I will close with this final thought, I think. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 16 says, "Therefore, all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder, and all who prey upon you I will make a prey. For I will restore health to you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her." Well, I'm telling you, we are grafted into that vine. We are grafted into that people. We are grafted into the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2,000 years ago, He came, and the kingdom is in the earth. And though we're going through some stuff, it doesn't mean we're going through the wrong stuff. It's the only way to get to it. He said, you through many tribulations must enter the kingdom. Don't you wish there was an easier way? Well, sure. Jesus did too. He's not mad at you because you wish there was an easier way. If it wasn't necessary, he wouldn't do it. If there was any other way, we would get to take it. But this is what is necessary. And we will prevail. And there will be no casualties. Not a wound. Not an injury. I can't do that. I didn't say that. He did. He can do that. He is fighting for us. We will prevail. Let's stand to our feet. God, you're so good. We love you so much, Lord. We thank you, Father. No casualties. No casualties. No casualties. Hallelujah. Only you can raise us up that way, God. No one else can do that. No one else can do that, Lord. We thank you that you are fighting our battles. And that's why we raise a hallelujah in the presence of our enemy. Because we know who is fighting for us. We know that you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. That you own the cattle on a thousand hills. That you are seated upon the throne. And no one will ever unseat you. Your kingdom will not be vanquished. Your kingdom will not be diminished. Your authority will not dim. But God, you are an ever-increasing God full of grace and truth. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you saved us, God. We praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Now, if you need prayer this morning, we have a great prayer team. I know a lot of people already received prayer, and I'm good with that. I'm happy. But if you need prayer, we'll pray with you this morning. If you need encouragement, we will stand with you. Brother Carroll used to say, I will join my faith with yours. I believe in that. I think sometimes it's easier for us to believe for somebody else than it is for them to believe for themselves. I don't know why that is. I do not know. But I believe it's true. I certainly know it's true in my life. And so if you need prayer as we play some music, you just come. If you need to be dismissed, you are dismissed. I would ask the prayer team to come and help us to pray for these folks. And I just want to remind you, August 11th, 12th, and 13th, those are going to be some power-packed meetings. Richie Seltzer is a lion in the kingdom of God, and we are so looking forward to him coming. We're so glad that you came. And prayer team, please come. And we're definitely going to need the full prayer team those three nights. We're going to need catchers. We're going to need a lot of help because God's going to shake this place for three nights. God bless you all. Can we play some music? We're going to pray tonight. And I understand that there's some people that did VBS and they need a night off or two. That's fine. No problem. I'm sure there's people that aren't here today because of VBS. I get that. Woo.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.